Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Going to put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it. It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080. The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Playoff Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. I am Joe Fisher. You can catch us on The Fan on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or Twitch for the kids. Across the foam marble table is Rashawn Taylor.
Who the hell broke the headphones?
Uh-oh.
Well, actually, they've always been kind of...
Yeah, I was going to say, they're kind of janky. Jordan Schultz behind the glass, as always.
What's up, guys?
What's up, bro?
Football. Lots of football today.
A whole bunch of football yesterday.
Lots of beer.
Yes.
It was fun.
Yes. Lots of football. Lots of beer.
Can I say something, guys?
No. You are on this radio show to say nothing.
I'll sit here in silence.
It's no,
about the beer
tree.
Thing. I think I might be done drinking.
You're out on just drinking in general or beer?
I honestly, I haven't had a beer in like 8 months.
Don't worry. I took care of that for you yesterday.
I appreciate it, man. Like that beer belly thing is a real thing. And apparently I'm not really supposed to, but you know, had a few drinks last night, a couple of drinks with my wife and was sitting there and was like, this just isn't fun for me anymore.
Boo.
Like it's no, seriously. It's one of those things. Like I feel like, I don't know if maybe it's because I'm just old now. But I feel like I'm just tired more than like feeling good. Then that's not the feeling you want to. You don't want to have a couple of drinks and be like,
yeah, you got
to
go
ready to knock out now.
North of 35, you got to add a vodka Red Bull in there at some point. Yeah. Otherwise, you do get a little sleepy.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think in general, I might be kind of over. You know, the drinking part. I don't know why.
I don't drink too much. You know, yesterday went out to one of the golf simulators and watched the Chargers game. One of my buddies is a Chargers fan, unfortunately.
That's sad. One of my buddies is too. Sorry, Rob.
Yeah, that sucked.
I had to tell him. I told him before that game got out of hand, I think it was somewhere in the first quarter, I was like, Tanner, why don't you just give up on your team like I did? And therefore, any sort of disappointment is not disappointing.
Well, because like a toxic relationship, we know you'll be back.
Yeah. So,
you know, like it's just kind of one of those things. Sports relationships, I was kind of thinking about this the other day, and I'm scrolling through social and somebody had a thing. They were a Cowboys fan as well. And I say were because they're saying that they're no longer a Cowboys fan.
Oh, they're a quitter, like Jason Swigert?
But I mean, what other relationship do we have with anything that we would allow something to disappoint us that much and never get anything in return?
Well, this is kind of goes back to my question last week that I had for Schultzy. I was wondering who has the, out of all the fan personalities, who has the most depressing fandom? Like out of all the teams that they root for. I don't know. I think I might take the cake on this. Cowboys, Blazers, Orioles, Ducks, my Pitt Panthers in college basketball.
I don't know, man.
My San Jose Sharks and
Brandon
hockey.
Sprague, you know.
That was the other one I was considering.
You know, I mean, Sprague.
But he's got the Braves.
Okay.
They did win a World Series recently.
They did, but there's, you know, there's been some ups and downs for the Braves. If, you know, we being real, you know, they were on the Superstation forever. So everybody got a chance to watch a lot of Braves games for, you know, for a lot of time. But,
right.
But it's just, I don't know. I'm thinking the 49ers had a lot of steam in the early 90s, you know, late 80s and stuff like that, and haven't had any of that since. And then you throw in the fact that he's an Oregon State guy, Oregon State grad. Like, we know what Oregon State's run of luck has been over the last, what, 30 years or
so? Hey, they're $25 million richer, though.
I mean, that's definitely, you know, nice. But, yeah, I would probably have to say Oregon State. I would say you, but I don't know, man.
I haven't seen a championship for any of my teams since the 90s, and I don't even remember those. I mean, when the Cowboys won their last one, I was 4 years old. That doesn't even count.
Blazers won. We weren't even born.
Yeah, exactly. Just a twinkle in our parents' eyes.
Yeah, Skip Bayless was still making up stuff about Troy Aikman back then.
Still trying to pay hairdressers.
I was really trying to get him out the building.
Well, that happened yesterday. Allegedly.
But you know what? We took care of the beer drinking for you yesterday.
I appreciate it. I think you guys are going to need to take over for me. I'll bring the beers.
Family Guy quote, if you don't know what we're talking about.
No, that's Mr. Deeds.
Mrs. Deeds.
But then also a Family Guy. Like, Peter Griffin, like, he homogenizes. He makes it, like, a really nostalgic thing, and he's, I'll bring the beers, and he says it in a much more Rhode Island-esque. Yeah, it's funny.
But it wasn't the beers that got me knocked out and wanting to call it a night. I like spicy food. You know,
yeah.
Not giving that up though, folks.
God, this is like the segment of the old dads on Sunday. I know what I can't do anymore.
I like my spicy food. And was it the last couple times that I've gotten Thai? It hasn't been there. It hasn't slapped. It hasn't given me that punch that I've been looking for.
Does the Thai place that you go to offer different levels? Like, we get a mild, medium, and like hot option for our pad Thai.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, like, I don't have like a set Thai place. I really didn't start eating Thai food until I met my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Good for her.
And so, like, the last place I went to was a food truck, and got some pad Khmer, and I was let's see what they got. Wasn't that spicy? A couple months ago, I think we ordered some farmhouse, you know, pretty solid spot. Isn't Thai food, but you know, they can add some spice to their stuff. And again, you know, was lacking that spice. So last night we DoorDash, I'm forgetting the place. And on DoorDash, you know, it asks what protein you want and it asks the spice level. And I was going to go medium, and I was like, you know what? Let's give it a test. Let's bump this up to hot.
Bam!
Oh,
kicked
yeah.
Up a notch.
Your boy got rocked. And I was thankful. It was a grateful experience. It was like, you know what? This is what I've been wanting.
Humbling.
Yes, humbling, but also very enjoyable. It was one of those where, I was like, this is what I've been wanting for a while, is one of those just hot food, spicy food experiences. Where it's got me, where I'm chugging whole milk out of the carton kind of experience.
Sweating hard.
Yes. And then...
everyone's asking, you're okay? You're like, I'm good, good. Running down your face.
Multiple times that happened, yeah.
Good, no.
And also, like, because it was still like sort of... Because it was still hot, when I would take a bite, I would, like, inhale because of the heat. And then the, like, fumes of the pepper would go into my throat, and then I would just be like,
it's just so tasty.
Yeah.
No, it's all so good. So good.
And I didn't know if it was like the heat, like the temperature of the noodles, because I got drunk with noodles. I don't know if it was the heat of the noodles itself or if it was just the peppers, but man, I got.
I had an experience similar to that just a few weeks ago. Wife and I ordered some Thai food, which she doesn't love Thai food, but I guess work and everything like that, she's been having it more and more. And so again, ordered same thing, pad Khmer, and got that joint and start eating and was like, oh my God. And now I'm trying to show that it's not really a big deal to my wife, but again, now I'm just sweating. And stomach is burning, you know, but they were great. Luckily, it was still delicious, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm able to give up hot food. I still love too many things that are spicy to just kind of punt on hot food right now.
You're going to clear up the
one
sinuses.
Thing at a time.
Oh, yeah. And see, this is definitely like an older guy thing, because I remember growing up, my dad, like, you know, we would get him like hot, like a collection of hot sauces for his birthday or Christmas or something like that. And he always really liked spicy foods. And I'd be like, you are an animal. All right. You are going to die of a heart attack because of too much spice. And now that I'm older, over my 30s, I'm like, you know what? Give me that whole bag of Tim's Cascade jalapeno chips.
Is there a food that you once absolutely loved, never gave any second thought to how much you loved it, but now that you're older, you're like, I don't really want that anymore. That's not good to me.
Yeah, Vienna sausages. I'm serious. When I was like when six did you or like seven, those? Like 7 years old, like
in the bottle.
Yeah, in
like
the can,
in the little
in
can,
in the liquid.
Yeah, I'll not do sardines in the, not all in the, day. I've never seen them in a bottle, but they
they're
in can.
The yeah, they're in the bottle too. You know, like a little more expensive, but yeah,
I got them out of
Vienna
the
Vienna sausage.
Those are awful. They're ass. They're what's they're that? So, I can't
once
say it on the
your
air.
Lips, it's like it just. Turns into like this.
Oh my god!
This paste.
What's that old joke from Great Outdoors? I can't say it on the air fully, but like, what are hot dogs made out of? Lips and hmms, and that's kind of like what you would imagine. That's Vienna sausage.
Well, here's the cool part,
I don't know why I ever ate those.
With that, I'm still a spam guy.
See,
I love spam.
See, you know? Spam masubi though. Like spam, but,
I just had that like 3 days
right?
ago.
Yeah, so I'm a spam guy, but man, and this is I don't know if this sounds kind of sacrilegious, but I don't like ribs anymore.
What?
Get out.
Yeah, man. I know, right?
I got some teriyaki marinating ribs.
This will be the
ribs.
Final show of Rashad yeah. Taylor.
Man, in my fridge right now.
Listen, as a black man, man, I've...
What the hell's
I've,
the matter with you?
As I've always loved my ribs, man.
We
as
had some good
man,
food
I've
at your
always,
wedding, man. What the hell's going on?
Hey, man, listen.
One of my favorite foods is ribs. Top three.
So, okay.
Since I was a kid.
So about a year ago, I made some ribs, and they were good. Tender, all the whole nine, everything like that. And I had them, I was like, this made my stomach hurt. I was like, man, this is weird. Like, maybe they weren't done all the way, something like that. Maybe. I go to a ribs place. And I'm not going to say the name because I think the rest of their food is phenomenal. And I think the ribs had always been good. And I got some and I was like, yeah, I took like one. I was like, yeah, this wasn't as good. Maybe another one. It's not as good. And it felt weird and felt like it just held my body down. I was like, yeah, this is strange. I decided the other day. Man, we're going to go get some barbecue and everything. Got the barbecue, got some ribs, and was like, yeah, I don't think I like these anymore.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I like them. They were too greasy, too, everything. I was like, yeah, this I don't need this meat, boss.
You're pathetic.
I don't need this. Yeah, it's one of those things. So I think I'm out on ribs.
You got to come
ribs
over to my
alcohol.
House, man.
I think I'm out.
Yeah, no, I will. The alcohol, I can understand.
Two of the greatest pleasures in the culinary world.
In men's world, like...
No,
you know,
you gotta let me smoke you some ribs.
Ribs yeah. and beer.
Exactly.
No, thank you.
Don't want to do that anymore for whatever reason. Over it.
Dear
over
God,
it.
Man.
Rashad's trading that in for LaCroix and salad. Let's go.
I can never fully drink a LaCroix and feel good about it. Like when I'm at my 9 to 5, and shout out to my team, like that's the one drink that everybody just enjoys. And I'm like, why do we want scented water? It doesn't taste like anything, and it's just like, no, I don't want this.
Yeah, no.
Sneaking like Kool-Aid packets inside of the LaCroix. So just
oh,
so
there
I can,
you go.
That's actually
pretty good, yeah. Crystal Light or something.
You ready to get to some football stuff?
I don't know. Where to start, man?
Yeah, I mean, we have NFL playoffs. We've got college football playoffs. Actually, I thought that now that we are officially in the playoffs at some point today, we go over our preseason NFL predictions. That we put down.
Yeah.
See what we are right on. See what we miss. See if our AFC NFC championship games are still alive.
You
our
know,
Super Bowl prediction is still alive.
Everybody had the Vikings winning their division, right?
Oh yeah, totally.
14
man,
win,
did.
Fifth seed. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're definitely on here. somehow got deleted. I don't know, but they were on here at some point. But yeah, we got a college football. Playoff championship game is set. You have a new head coach.
Ugh, Jesus. Just hire me.
No, you should have done that last
Just
year.
Just hire me.
But I say first because
biggest
it is
blunder in the world.
It is freshest in our minds as we go to the NFL playoffs. We had two games last night. One went as expected. One did not. And all I have to say is, Justin... No. Why, Justin? Damn it.
Damn you.
Yeah, we'll get to both of the games next here on Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. Well, I ain't the Justin Herbert and the if he had weapons, if he this, if he that, will still live on because him, the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, in a game that everybody felt like they were expected to win. I mean, I was saying weeks ago, well, if you want to go anywhere to start your playoff run, you want to go to Houston. I mean, we've seen what the Texans look like lately. My God. And he goes and throws more interceptions in one game than he had all season long. Now, granted, I will give one of those to Will Dissly, who had two drops in the game
crazy
yesterday.
Drops. We're whooping his ass in the locker room when we get back in there. For real. Like, one of those drops could have been a touchdown. So
yes. Yeah.
Not like it would affect the final score, but yeah.
For sure.
I mean, everything. It was one of those that everything that could go wrong did go wrong. I mean, even at the start of the game, they have their two first offensive possessions. You're settling for field goals. I even said to my buddy Tanner, who, you know, we were watching the game with, I was like, you got to turn those field goals into touchdowns. You can't be leaving 8 points off the board against a team in the playoffs. I was like, I know it's the Texans, but really the unit that stood out in this game, I mean, it was the Texans defense. Was just flustering Justin Herbert. I mean, Justin Herbert, what was his final passing time? 14 for 32?
Justin Herbert was... Yes, yep. 14 for 32.
It. 1-4.
One.
Unreal.
Sacked four times.
To have him play that poorly, I mean, it was just a few weeks ago that I was in this chair, in this studio, saying Justin Herbert, top five quarterback in the league, and you made him look pedestrian at best.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in total shock with how that game went.
I would have never thought that, you know, a Jim Harbaugh-led team would go into the playoffs and really lay an egg like that. Like, that was hard to watch. Like, and after the first quarter, you're like, okay, like, here's the chart. They haven't put a touchdown up, but two field goals, you're up six at the end of the first quarter. Like, okay, things are moving the right direction. And then all of a sudden, C.J. Stroud and company just kind of start laying it on them. But it was really, like you said, that defense just – they were everywhere, and they were getting their hands on field goals. They were, you know, kind of tipping down passes. Like, they were doing a little bit of everything, and they were putting a lot of pressure on that offensive line and on Justin Herbert. And that's really why, like, Herbert was usually has a lot of time to get rid of the ball. That wasn't the case yesterday. He had to get rid of things really, really quick, and they made him uncomfortable the entire game. And on the other end, C.J. Stroud didn't seem uncomfortable, you know, at all. He had the one mistake in there with the interception, but outside of that, you know, he was able to kind of at least keep his team on the field. And then you got a beast in Joe Mixon, who they just – it seemed like he was just falling forward. Like, it wasn't – he couldn't stay on his feet, and he was just kind of and just fall forward. Oh, here's 6 yards. Oh, here's a first down. Whenever you got a guy like that, you can just give him the rock and say, go do work for us.
Well,
that's what he was able to do, and especially in that second half of the game, like, it was all Joe Mixon.
Well, and what really changed the trajectory and the feeling of this game was right before halftime, and I was saying it again to my buddy, I was like, you know how I'm getting older is that the field position battle gets me all worked up and gets me excited. I'm like, oh, yeah, what a punt. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to flip the field here. Oh, yeah, you got to pin him deep.
You go for it right here.
Yeah.
You give him a chance right. Yeah, that's the type of stuff you do now.
And as soon as the Chargers, they punt, they put the Texans at the 1 yard line with, gosh, I don't know, a few minutes left in the first half. And I'm like, all right, well, Texans, they haven't done anything on offense. And now I got to go 99 yards. I'm like, this is, you know, you got to be feeling good at the Chargers. What did the Texans do? They go 99 yards, and they get a touchdown on the board to go up 7-6. And that's the other thing is it's just like the first half, you were able to shut them down, and that's why I was like, you need to be turning these field goals into touchdowns. You can't be leaving a points on the board. And before you know it, it's like, well, now Texans lead. And then you go 3-and-out very quickly and give the Texans a chance to put up 3 more points before halftime. So now you're looking at 10-6 at halftime, and your offense – while it's been able to move the ball, hasn't been able to convert and put up touchdowns and get in the end zone. And then it was just, and then in that second half, I mean, this is the drive chart for the Chargers in the second half. Downs, punt, interception for a touchdown, interception, touchdown, interception.
Which that touchdown, by the way, turned into a 2-point conversion on the defensive side because of the blocked extra points.
When's the last time you've seen one of those?
It's been a minute.
God, it's been like 10, 20 years. But again, can you bet on those? Because those odds would have been astronomical. Dang it.
Well, it's like even when they start to get a little bit sign of life, a little bit of momentum, big Ladd McConkey touchdown, who set the playoff rookie record for receiving yards yesterday, 197, by the way. Yeah, it's just like, all right, we get this extra point, we cut this to 10, then we can get a stop, score a touchdown, get a stop, field goal, tie this game, send it over. No, blocked field or blocked extra point, which Cameron Dicker, I don't know what he was doing, trying to knock the ball down as if it was a Hail Mary or something.
Like, bro, that's not how that works.
He literally knocked it down right into a Texans player's hand, who then housed it for the two points.
Yeah. He panicked and didn't know the rules.
He's a millionaire, but he still panicked. You know, you're supposed to not panic. You're supposed to be paid so well that your life is kind of precluded around making sure that you are in the zone in these moments. But yeah, he panicked. It's fine.
And this was Herbert's first playoff game. Correct or
no,
second?
Second. Okay. The second one was the Jaguars comeback.
Oh,
a few
that's
years
right.
Ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they were just D'Amico Ryans and they were ready. You know, they knew what they wanted to do and they pretty much did it. And really, it could have still been a game in the fourth quarter. Like if a couple things had to work out in the Chargers' favor, but getting that touchdown on the board, I think was going to do a lot for their confidence. And then the very next play, that blocked field goal came and completely changed the momentum for the Texans. And that's really when, at that point, it was like, okay, this game's over. And there were still, like, what, 10 minutes some to play, but you were kind of like, yeah, I don't think this is going to happen at this point.
It was a game going into the fourth quarter or before, I guess, the seconds expiring into that the end of the third quarter with that pick six happening. And then what was that? Two interception drives in a row, as you pointed out, Joe, for the Chargers. Like, they just had a chance, and then it was almost kind of like the Ducks. Like, 5 minutes later against Ohio State, they didn't have a chance. And it's like, it's like Houston came in and was just like, you know what? I think I'm going to let Justin Herbert and Ladd McConkey beat us. Because you look at the box score, McConkey had almost 200 yards of Herbert's, 230, 40 passing yards on the receiving end. So essentially, as we've said all season long, the Chargers have no weapons other than Ladd McConkey.
All the 45 yards went to, you know, Ladd McConkey.
And Justin Herbert, you know, even with a little bit more pressure than he was used to all season, the Chargers have been really good on the offensive line at protecting him. He's taken almost no hurries or just one or two most of the time. He was still able to get the ball out, but they said, you know what, beat us this way because you're not going to beat us in any other way. And they were successful at it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the receiving core for the Chargers. Ladd McConkey, 9 receptions, 197 and a touchdown. The next best stat line for the Chargers.
It's disgusting.
Will Dissly, 2 catches for 16 yards. He had just as many drops as he had catches. Mm-hmm. Tucker Fisk for 1 catch, 15 yards. I mean, Quentin Johnson, where the hell were you, bud? I mean,
and that's a good question.
And, you know, I wonder why box score. I mean, Quentin Johnson did have a catch, but it was for like a yard. And maybe it was someone else who got it, but I could have sworn on that fourth down play that the Chargers tried to go to Quentin Johnson, where they finished, came up a few yards short on that. But
the stat sheet I'm looking at says Quentin Johnson had 5 targets, 0 catches.
Oh, my God. I mean, so, yeah, a lot of drops. I do remember a couple of times Quentin looking like a little
frustrated. That was a drop, and they actually didn't count it as a catch, but, I mean, like, they went for it on that fourth down in the second half and weren't able to get it. And I could have sworn that was a pass to Quentin Johnson. But, they reviewed it and they said that it wasn't incomplete. So there you go. So Quentin Johnson did have 0 catches in that game.
At what point do you start planning your vacation if you're on the team that's clearly losing in the fourth quarter? There's 7 minutes left.
You look up to the stands and you see your agent or your wife and you're like,
yeah, make the
give the phone give motion. Like, yeah, stop calling.
Make the
start making the
guess
arrangements.
What? We even got to go back to San Diego. We'll stay or to me to LA. Forgive me. We even got to go back to LA. We can stay right here and we can leave from
go to
Houston.
Galveston.
Yeah, we can go to Galveston for for the
that
break.
Dirty ass water.
Yeah, gross. You don't want to go to Galveston for anything.
So the Texans advance. Who they will face, we will find out later today. But the other game I mean, that went about as expected. The Ravens, Steelers, the Steelers, the last 5 weeks now
have been
doo-doo.
Cheeks.
Yes. The last 5 weeks have not put up more than 17 points total, I believe. TJ Watt held without a stat, also defensively. The Ravens run for 299 yards on the ground. The Steelers eliminated a 9 out of that. 29 yards on the ground for the Steelers.
I mean, Derrick Henry was just otherworldly.
Yeah, this Ravens team is getting hot at the right time.
They're scary.
Yes, very scary. Very scary.
It was like 7 yards up the middle every time Derrick Henry touched the ball. And they didn't run him around the end until like the fourth quarter. It was just dominance.
When they had that fool in the Wildcat, I was like, oh no. Oh no, they're in trouble. That means he doesn't get a direct snap and can do whatever he wants after that. Like, get out of here.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
26 carries for 186 for Derrick Henry yesterday. I mean, they were up 21-0. The Steelers, they tried to make it interesting, but it just never felt like they were going to come back in this game at all.
The best part is Steeler fans watching them freak out on social. Watching the whole, I don't know why I watch this game. I don't know why I do this to myself.
So we are literally, that's pretty fun. We're literally seeing the argument again. It's like, well, are the Steelers going to move on from Mike Tomlin? Why? What are you smoking?
I think
you
can all agree that Mike Tomlin's not the issue.
Straight playoff losses under Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, though.
35 straight winning seasons under Mike Tomlin.
How many of those has since Ben Roethlisberger retired?
I'm going to say, well, it might include those because I remember the Steelers that one year they started off like 13-0 or 14. I think it was 13-0, lost the last three games, and then they lost their first game in the playoffs. So, I mean, these six straight playoff losses for the Steelers, it very well could include
one
of them with Roethlisberger because they lost to the Browns in that one playoff game with Baker Mayfield. Which I think, again, that was Roethlisberger was playing in that game. So, I don't know. There comes a point where, as Steelers fan, like, you are Sixburg. You have the most Super Bowls championships in NFL history. Well, not championships, because if you include those, actually, then the Green Bay Packers. But six Super Bowls. I mean, at what point does... Oh, we've had a bunch of winning seasons in a row and no playoff success to show for it in the last however many years. At what point does that narrative, like, you don't get a Lombardi trophy for the most winning seasons in a row for being good?
I think there's a lot that goes into that, though, without having a guy like a consistent trigger man like Ben Roethlisberger, you know, who you had for a long time. But let's be real, Big Ben's last 4 or 5 seasons
weren't that great.
Weren't awesome. He had one in between there. It was like, okay, maybe Ben's back. But outside of that, the last few seasons of Ben Roethlisberger wasn't great. And then after that, you had the
Kenny Pickett
era. And what was the other one? Who was the other quarterback that they had that was also equally as terrible?
Mason Rudolph.
Like, you know, monuments of nothingness, you know, that you had as far as the quarterback position, you know, there. So now you got Russ, and Russ wasn't great this year, but he didn't make a lot of mistakes as far as throwing interceptions or anything like that. I just don't think they had the horses that you would expect for a winning team like the Steelers. So I think there's a lot that went into it. I think having mature Russell Wilson there, maybe a little maybe a little delusional in what he can do now. Like, there was a point last night in the game where one of the announcers was like, he's trying to be old Russell Wilson. And I think old Russell Wilson is gone. You know, we're not going to see that guy anymore. But if you need a guy that can get you a quick 2 or 3 yards on a scramble or something like that, I think that might be right around where he is. But trying to expect him to go on third and long and scramble for 7, 9, 12 yards, whatever the case is, I don't think he's that guy anymore. But then you can't put in – you gonna put Fields in?
No.
Right? And I think that's the rub to it. It's like, yeah, Russ wasn't playing great, but you're gonna put in Justin Fields? He's gonna win you some games?
I am so frustrated in the world of sports how fans and GMs and coaches sometimes get shiny new thing syndrome. You got to look at the history of this team, right? You talk about their Super Bowl wins. They have had three coaches since 1969. And I guarantee you, if and when they move on from Mike Tomlin, that will start the cavalcade of coaches being, you know, oh, two-year guys, a tenure for a season and a half before you're forced to do an in-season firing for the first time, I'm sure, ever in Steelers football history. Like, you be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. And I'm telling you, a post-Mike Tomlin world for the Steelers is not good. The dude is still in his early 50s. He's got 15 years left in the league to be a head coach. I guarantee you, if he's gone from Pittsburgh, someone will snatch him up like that. It is the stupidest consideration ever that he even puts them in the position to get to the playoffs in the first place, and then they're like, ah, it's his fault that they're not winning it. No, it's freaking not. The NFL's hard, and if you're telling me that there's a guy somewhere in the league that's going to take the crap that they've had on the offensive side of the ball in Pittsburgh and make it into something better than Tomlin has, show him to me. Please, tell me.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, there very well could be. And I wonder how long you – I mean, six straight playoff losses. I mean, that is the Steelers who have seen – was it 2005? You saw 2008. That was the second year of Mike Tomlin, which a lot of people – I mean, they've gone back and said, like, all right, well, he won that with Cowers guys.
Oh, God, yeah. It's like the new president taking over for the old one.
Well, jeez. I mean, Mark Helfrich took a team to a national championship, right?
That was literally the next year. This was 2 years later with Mike Tomlin. He did establish some kind of culture there.
But I think what happened is I think Howard established a culture that Tomlin was like, okay, this works. He did. At any time, Bill Cowher never had the very best of anything at any position. Like, the bus was a great running back, but I don't think anybody ever considered Jerome Bettis the best running back in the league. Roethlisberger was a good quarterback, but I don't think anybody at any point ever considered him the best. Hines Ward was still not in the Hall of Fame. Nobody's ever considered Hines Ward, you know, the best at anything, but he had really good pieces offensively and defensively that you were able to go out there and win a game with. You look at this Pittsburgh team, and they haven't had those pieces since Antonio Brown left.
Do you know who Mike Tomlin is?
Huh?
Look at this. You see this picture right here, Rashad?
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Mike Tomlin is the Doc Rivers of the NFL.
Because guess what? They're still talking about who exactly is a Hall of Famer from that Pittsburgh team that won a championship. And Doc Rivers has had nothing but Hall of Famers at every stop. He had Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady at one point. And then he turned around and had
T.J. Watt's a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Cameron Hayward's a Hall of Famer.
That's one. They're on the team. Like, there's a couple on the team. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's one of those things. Doc Rivers, everywhere he went, had championship all-time players, no matter what team he was coaching for, every single time.
Yeah, I wonder how much longer the Steelers are going to be happy with, hey, we were good enough to make the playoffs, but then we flamed out in the playoffs yet again.
I mean, I think as long as they just keep making the playoffs, I think that's the only thing that matters, you know, at this point. As long as they keep having 8-8s or, you know, 9-8 seasons or whatever, I think Pittsburgh is always going to be, and Tomlin's always going to be in everybody's good graces, because where are you, like Jordan's saying, like, who's another coach you can hire, like, right now that's going to be as good as Mike Tomlin? Show me. Like, I don't know if he's out there.
They can have Mike McCarthy.
Oh, hey, man. I mean, Gerard Mayo's available.
Ben Johnson, who's probably the top candidate, the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator.
Why hasn't Byron Leftwich been hired yet?
Well, there you go. He's not going to take the job in Pittsburgh. He's going to take, you know, like a Chicago gig or somewhere where they've got a stud quarterback. So unless Pittsburgh all of a sudden gets the top overall pick, you're not getting the hot coaching candidate. Yes, you've got a great organization, but it's not going to get you the top young guy or whoever, you know, fans are going to want.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're up against it. Talk about some of these other playoff games today. But also wanted to take a look at our preseason NFL predictions and see what's still alive, what we got terribly wrong, and see again if our AFC, NFC championship games and Super Bowl prediction can still happen. We get to that next here, Football Sunday. But first, Schultzy with SportsCenter update. Last little note on Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I remember when Andy Reid made the NFC championship game six times in a row, and the Eagles fired him.
He didn't win.
Look at him now.
He didn't win. Like, I mean, at that point, yeah, look at him now. Like, he's got all the right toys to be able to play with over there. But
just saying, sometimes you got to make hard decisions as a franchise.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the thing
just
about
being
Andy
good
Reed,
ain't good enough.
Andy Reid hadn't won. Mike Tomlin's won and then been there again, and you know, didn't win, but he's been there twice. He's won one. He continues to
was it
to 16, win.
15, 16 years ago? He won.
Yeah, but he continues to get to the playoffs.
You know, Mike McCarthy won also.
Not like that.
Why not? Like that. What are you talking about?
Not like that. I mean, Mike McCarthy won, but then after that, he
went to a Super Bowl winning head coach.
He went to a team that just could not win. After he won the Super Bowl, I don't think they could consistently make the playoffs after that.
Hey, Mike Tomlin, Mike McCarthy. Super Bowl winning head coaches.
One is consistently in the playoffs, and the other one is Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy, 3 straight 12-win seasons with the Cowboys before this year.
Was he in the playoffs this year?
No, but...
Because pretty much every year, Mike Tomlin is there.
Well, not every year.
And all you can do is get there. Like, I mean, we're about to talk about what our predictions were for winning the Super Bowl and winning all these things. And the truth is, only, what, 8 teams can make it to the playoffs? Is it 8?
Seven in each conference?
Yeah, 7 in each conference. So, you know, 14 teams of the 32 are making it to the playoffs. Like, that's all you can do is get there. And once you get there, we'll see. You know what I mean? I think that's the big thing. And Mike McCarthy wasn't getting there, you know, all the time when he was in Green Bay, you know. And that, I think that was the big thing. That's the big difference between the two of them. Mike McCarthy is a great – I think, if anything, he's a great assistant.
Here's your cookie for having good seasons, Mike Tomlin. Our NFL preseason predictions. Let's get into this. NFC South, looking at this right now. Rashad, the only one to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Woo, because I know my age.
I like how you just groan right before I say it. Like right after I say your name, you're like, oh, God, what did I do? And you're right, and you're like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what I do, baby.
That's what I do. No, I mean, because if it was going to be anything like our, you know, who do you love picks, then I'm like, ugh, no. But I had faith in, you know, Baker Mayfield's my guy. Have faith in him.
Yeah, Schultzy and I both went with the Falcons, which was looking good for a bit until it wasn't, until Kirk Cousins decided that he wanted to stop playing quarterback.
Well, I didn't really realize that his Achilles would just unearth unbelievable inconsistencies in his game, and he just can't throw the ball downfield anymore. Yeah,
I mean, he is old.
But he literally can't throw the ball downfield.
For the NFC North, we all went chalk, and we were all correct. Now, it did take literally the last game of the year. But we all took the Lions to win the NFC North.
I mean, nobody thought that there would be two like 12-plus win teams out of that division. Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean,
took care of them.
We might have thought it would have been them and the Packers that could have been a 12-win team, but not the Vikings.
Not the Vikings.
As far as NFC East goes, I was the only one to go against my Cowboys. You guys both took the Cowboys to win the division.
Easy pick the last few years.
Yeah. And, because Mike McCarthy's a Super Bowl winning head coach and consistently getting 12 win seasons out of there. So, I mean, don't fire him. Don't let him go, right?
Oh, no, let him go.
Keep him for 15, 16, 17 years.
You know what Mike
Tomlin
can do with the Dak Prescott?
I took the Eagles. This was I finally came to a realization that I can't just blindly support my team because when you disappoint in the playoffs so many years, then you know you have to move on.
That Saquon Barkley was a great pickup for this Eagles team.
Not bad, not bad. We were all wrong on the NFC West, though. We all took 49ers. I think it was one of those we need to see.
That was
a
no-brainer.
Yeah,
that was a no-brainer for all of us.
It's like, all right, well, why wouldn't we think the 49ers are going to win the division this year? But they did not. It was the L.A. Rams, which Jordan and I get half credit for because we said that the Rams would make the playoffs as a wild card team.
There we go.
But they made it as the division winner, actually.
The weird division.
Yes, yes. We all took the Packers getting into the playoffs as a wild card team. So we are correct there.
Okay.
Jordan gets a half a point for selecting the Eagles as a wild card team, as do you, Rashad, get half a point. But you had the Falcons as a wild card team, which they were not. And I would say you had the Falcons as a wild card team. Yes. But I would say that this is the worst of my NFC picks, the Bears being a wild card team.
Bears.
Yeah.
Didn't I pick them too?
No Bears. Wow. No Bears.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. So you and I got two of the four division winners right. Schultzy got one of the division winners right, but he did get Eagles, Rams, Packers at least all making the playoffs there. So in the AFC South, you guys were the only ones to take the Texans, and I took the Jacksonville Jaguars to win the division. To be fair to myself, though,
Jacksonville.
You guys both had them winning a wild card. So we were all wrong in a sense of thinking that the Jaguars would actually be good this year.
Yeah.
I just thought they would be really good to win the division.
I thought this was Trevor Lawrence's year. This was, you know, this is what, year four? Like, this is the one that he takes the big step, and just wasn't the case.
Well, now they need a new head coach. We all took the Ravens to win the division, which was correct. Each one of us took a different division winner for the AFC East. I took the Dolphins. Rashad, you took the Jets, and Schultzy took the Bills.
I will never, never take the Jets anywhere, ever again in life.
Probably a good decision.
That was the dumbest decision. I said that?
Yes, I have it right here.
I was probably smoking or something before.
Not surprised. And we all took Chiefs as well for the AFC West. But Schultzy, all four division winners correct in the AFC.
Dang.
Now, all three wildcard teams incorrect. Schultzy.
There we go.
You took Bengals, Jags, Dolphins. Rashad, you took Dolphins, Jags, Chargers.
Okay, one of the...
Which I took the Chargers as well. The Bills were one of my wildcard teams, so half point there. And then my last wildcard team was the Bengals. No one taking the Broncos. The Broncos were basically like the Vikings of the AFC this year, where I think they were projected to win like four or five games this year and ended up making a playoff run. Also, none of us having the Commanders in the playoffs either. Another team that was predicted.
I don't think anybody saw, none of us saw them even being good.
I think there was a chance for them to be, you know, competitive, but to be a playoff team and to play as good as they did this year. Yeah, I don't think that was going to be the case. But all of our AFC, NFC championship games and Super Bowl matchups are still alive, except for Rashad's NFC championship. He had Lions over the 49ers. So you could still get the game winner right, but the game, the matchup will not be correct. We all took Ravens, Chiefs in the AFC championship game. So Buffalo has a chance to ruin that for all of us. I have Ravens over Chiefs. Rashad has Ravens over Chiefs. Jordan has Chiefs over Ravens for the AFC championship.
Yeah, I think it's just going
to
be...
I don't know, man. On a neutral ground, I just don't see that defense being able to stop Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson. They're going to have to pick their poison. You know, and yeah. I think that's kind of one of those things. Like,
They stopped it last year, but that was a different Ravens team because, as you mentioned, they did not have Derrick Henry time.
Not at all. But what was the most surprising team of all the new teams that made the playoffs for you guys this year?
I mean, it's going to be probably the Vikings. Either the Vikings or the Broncos, I would say. Those two.
Jordan?
And Commanders. I'd have to throw Jaden Daniels and the Commanders in there. I mean, Dan Quinn coming in, new offensive coordinator with Cliff Kingsbury trying to like actually establish something after Eric Bieniemy left. Like, surprised.
Well, yeah. This is why I lean probably towards the Broncos because, you know, Jaden Daniels being a number two overall pick.
It's expected for him to be kind of okay.
Yeah. Whereas Bo Nix, I mean, the jury was out on Bo Nix.
A
lot of people didn't, you know, check down artists. The jury was still out on Sean Payton in the second iteration of his head coaching run. So, I mean, they were one of the lowest projected win totals this year. Right in the AFC, just above the Patriots. I mean, it was like 4.5, 5.5 wins projected for the Broncos this year. I don't think anybody saw. Bo Nix, he finished fifth, I believe, in touchdown passes this year.
Bo Nix had 29 touchdowns and 12 picks.
I mean,
in his rookie year. Like, I only do that on Madden. Like, how many rookies come out their rookie year, with exception of Jaden Daniels, and just light the world on fire? And again, nobody expected the Broncos. They were a dumpster fire for a little bit. You know, couldn't figure it out with Russell Wilson, couldn't figure it out with the whole coaching regime, you know, prior to that, and then come out in your first year. And it looked rocky at first, because I remember the first few games of Bo's career, like, he hadn't thrown a touchdown. And then you end the season with 29 touchdowns and 12 picks and a spot in the playoffs in your first year. Like, a shout out to Bo Nix, because I don't think any of us thought that he would be this good a professional this fast.
And our NFC predictions, we'll do this real quickly because we're up against it. NFC championship game, I had Lions over Eagles, still very much alive. Rashad, as I mentioned, Lions over 49ers. And Jordan, Lions over Packers, NFC North. So mine and Jordan's NFC championship game, still alive. And then the Super Bowl, we all have the Lions in it, obviously. I have Ravens over Lions. You as well have Ravens over Lions. I see that you notice whatever Joe's selecting. I should probably do the same thing.
Yes.
You know, that's smart.
Bingo.
And then Jordan with Chiefs over Lions, three-peating this year. You got them winning the Super Bowl yet again. So that is our preseason NFL predictions here in the wild card round. But we need to make some weekly predictions. It is time for Who Do You Love? Rashad, can he bounce back after an 0-3 week?
I don't think he can.
After not sending picks?
I don't think he can do it.
I gave you some passes this year saying, all right, well, what have you what would you have selected? But I couldn't do it last
All
week.
All winners.
I couldn't do week. It last week.
Yeah.
But we try and predict some NFL playoff games and win some hypothetical dollars next on Who Do You Love right here on Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. And it's time for a playoff Who Do You Love. Regular season is now over. I took the Chargers winning last week against I don't remember who, but they did cover 6.5.
I'm picking here. The Jaguars this week. I'm just kidding. I've already lost.
The Jaguars to hire a head coach.
No kidding.
Yeah, Chargers beat the Raiders, 34-20 in cover. That was one of my picks. The Mike Evans prop bet of over 100.5 receiving yards got close there near the end, but it did not hit. I think he finished with like 89 or something like that.
The last catch of the game did catch.
It got him his 1,000 yards and all that, but I took the bet when it was, you know, like seconds before kickoff.
Way too late.
Yeah, where it was at 100.5 yards. In DraftKings, so that does not hit. And I took the Jets Dolphins under 39.5, and Aaron Rodgers decided he wanted to have his best game of the year and put up basically that amount of points almost by himself. 32-20, the Jets won that one. So I go 1-2. Rashad, sick boy over there, 0-3, because he did not send any picks.
I can tell you who I picked, though, if you want.
No. I gave that to you earlier this year, and I let you do that.
Tampa Bay over New Orleans.
You're going to give me three winners?
No, I'm just the ones I picked. I picked Detroit over Minnesota.
Yeah, and you picked the exact score for the Packers-Bears, 24-22. Yes. So you nailed those odds. Yeah, I'm sure.
This was locked in. This was locked in.
I thought you guys knew.
And then, Schultzy was here. He did make picks, but it did not go as well either.
I don't think it went any better than Rashad not making picks.
Eagles, Giants over 36.5. That goes for 33. Valdez Scantling anytime touchdown did not hit.
No, it did not.
And then the Commanders, Cowboys over 43.5.
No.
That was 42.
Yeah.
Damn. So that puts Schultzy at 17, 23, and 2. Rashad is at 16, 22, and 1. And I am your regular season champ at 23, 18, and 1. But
no
there
one
is
cares,
still
Joe.
Four rounds of playoffs. Who knows? Maybe someone shows up at halftime with Kendrick Lamar, and Rashad is able to tie me at the very end.
We'll see.
You won it with your ludicrous bet last year, you tied it with the ludicrous bet.
Oh, I can tell you exactly who's coming out with Kendrick.
Schoolboy?
He's going to pop out.
Schoolboy Q?
Nobody that the masses don't know.
Drake.
That would
yeah.
Those odds would be great. They bury the hatchet at the Super Bowl. Like,
how
those odds
great
would
that
great.
Be?
Yeah.
No, they didn't bury the hatchet, but Kendrick just paid Drake, and everybody thinks that they did.
Yeah.
All right. Who do you love? I'll get things started. I know the Sharps are on the Broncos today. I'm going to take the Bills covering the 7.5, though. The Broncos are the sexy pick today. But going to Buffalo, where they are undefeated at home this year against Josh Allen, the Bills. Josh Allen also with 4 wild card wins. So, I mean, the Bills are going to win this game, but I'm going to take them to cover the 7.5. This thing got bet down. I want to say it opened at like 10.5 or 10 points this week. So people taking the Broncos to cover that. But now that it's at 7.5, I'll take the Bills to cover the 7.5 against the Broncos.
I'm taking Baltimore to beat to beat Pittsburgh by 14 at least. No, I don't know. I think I'm going to – I'm looking at this Green Bay and Philadelphia game. I think Philadelphia is better than I think both of you guys kind of feel like Philly is. And I think Green Bay is
– I have Philadelphia in the NFC Championship.
No, but even still, you're kind of like – you look at Philly like, eh, I don't know about that whole Jalen Hurts guy. But I think Philadelphia is one of the better – you know, obviously that run attack is something that the Green Bay Packers have to be very, very cognizant of. Philly is favored by 5.5. I like that, so I'm taking Philly.
Eagles to cover the 5.5?
Yes, sir.
All right.
This is a dangerous pick, but going the first game of the day, Broncos-Bills, the over-under total is 49. I do believe the sharp money is on the over of 49. That is 7 total touchdowns, right? I'm kind of just doing math here. Like, it's not really looking at, like, how good each defense is, but it's just seriously sitting here. All right, each team's going to get, what, 8 possessions, maybe 10? And I don't think that on, yeah, not very snowy day, but on a cold day, there are probably still going to be some things happening, like interceptions or a drop or two that would keep the score maybe a slight bit lower than it normally would be. So I will say under 49 for both of these teams, even though they are good on offense. I hope I'm right.
Under 49. I'm going to take an over-under as well. I'm going to go to that Bucks-Commanders game. That one is in Tampa. It's going to be a balmy 53 degrees in Tampa today.
Woo.
Nighttime. These teams can put up points. Buccaneers, one of the best offenses in the league, as is the Commanders' offense. The total is 51.5. Mm-hmm. I am going to take the over on that of the Bucks Commanders.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Joe. You got two teams that really know how to put up points, that 51.5. It's a big number, but again, both squads know how to put up touchdowns on the board, so I'm also going to take the over.
That's not going to help you close the gap, my friend.
Hey, man, I got to do what I got to do, man. It's not like we have 13 games to choose from today.
Schultzy, pick number 2.
I've kind of been struggling with this one, going back and forth either between like the Eagles covering or a touchdown score prop in this one. I think I'm going to take the risk here, and I'm going to go Saquon Barkley, not just one touchdown, but 2 touchdowns today. This is a little bit of a read.
Oh, my God.
But he's plus 250 for
you
this.
You animal.
I think that they're going to be on the ground a lot, and it's going to be similar to what the Ravens did yesterday against the Steelers. I'm going to say 2 tutties anytime Saquon Barkley today for the Eagles v. the Packers.
Two touchdowns?
I'm seeing plus 250 odds on that, so that's a ballsy pick. You might have to give me like a little bit extra if I win that one.
No, I won't. But Vikings Rams tomorrow.
Dang it, stop doing that. Stop taking all the ones I'm gonna pick.
Hey man, just relax.
I gotta pick something else now.
Because I'm gonna go prop bet. I'm gonna go with the touchdown monster himself, Kyren Williams. Anytime touchdown. I've wanted to bet it a couple times this year. I have not. That dude has what, 14 touchdowns this year? Yeah, 14 rushing touchdowns. And I think if they get near the goal line, they're going to be leaning towards him. So give me a Kyren Williams anytime touchdown. Also, a little bit of note with that Rams-Vikings game. One of the only losses the Vikings had this year against the Rams.
Mm-hmm. One of what, 3?
One of 3.
3 losses they had this year.
That's
so
correct.
I'm taking Minnesota's favorite by 2.5. I'm thinking it's going to be more than that. I think Minnesota is going to be on a, you know, a kind of an FU tour, especially after losing big last week to that, you know, to that Lions team.
Getting embarrassed.
Yeah, they got embarrassed. And I think because they got embarrassed and they're going to be playing in
LA. Sam Darnold, he was like 18 of 41 in that game.
It was pretty bad. Was
they couldn't score in the
red zone.
Easily
Sam Darnold's worst game, you know, as a Viking, you know.
Get rid of him.
Year. Yeah, they got to pack him up. But I think they're going to be really angry and really pissed off after losing in the way they lost last week. And so I think they're going to come out and completely clobber this LA team.
All right. And Schultzy, final pick.
I'm going Commanders to cover today. I think that it's going to be a pretty close contest, Commanders, Buccaneers, but +3. I like that number for Washington. I'm getting it at -115, so it's a little bit more expensive. But I think Jane Daniels going to come out and have a good day.
Yeah, that's a flip a coin game right there.
Kind of.
I just hope it's a fun one. And as I said earlier in the segment, give me some points. Give me some points. That's who you love. We're about to go to hour number two. Broncos-Bills about to kick off over in northern New York. And we will talk about some of these matchups, our college football championship game, the semifinal matchups from this week. We do that all next. Hour number two, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Dude. Well, I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Football Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. And boy, we got fireworks already, baby.
Let's go. Bo Nose touchdown.
Oregon Duck to Oregon Duck. Bo Nix to Troy Franklin. Within 2.5 minutes of the game starting, big bomb downfield. Troy Franklin walks in the end zone untouched. Holy hell.
That's what Bo told him. Hey, man, do that thing that we used to do in Eugene. Oh, thing.
That was the best moment for Ducks fans in football over the last 2 weeks.
They needed it.
You're right.
I'm telling you, they needed it.
I mean, hell, after obviously the playoff and then seeing Ohio State win again and then seeing Justin Herbert's performance last night, the Ducks fans, they needed this.
They needed something good to go for them.
Wow.
You know, so I think they'll definitely take that.
What a start for the Broncos and Bo Nix. Check down artist himself, man. How about that? That's crazy. That check down went 43 yards. That's wild.
They've been throwing it over the top to Mims, to Sutton. Like, kind of seems like almost every game the past 4 or 5 games. 4 touchdowns. I'm shocked that Buffalo got fooled in literally the same exact way. It almost looks like a play they drew up 2 weeks ago.
Well, Buffalo finds themselves down right away in Buffalo. We'll see how this game turns out. I mean, man, can you imagine? Yeah, I think Rashad, you just said it. Like, if Denver goes in, I don't know if you, Schultz, did the commercial. If Denver goes in and gets a dub in Buffalo,
just beats the brakes off of the Bills.
Oh my God,
that would be awesome. And mind you, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because yesterday it looked like Justin Herbert to start the game. Okay, they're moving well. They've got 6 points on the board, and it looks like this could be a game, and then it wasn't. So I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but if Bo Nix is throwing the ball anything like he just did.
No, that's
did,
what we do. We overreact after, right? Yeah. 2.5 minutes of a football game.
Yep. Well, game's over.
Bills are screwed.
Pack it up.
Yeah.
Bo Nix, Hall of Famer. Check it now.
Let's go. So the other games today, though, Green Bay, Philly. This one's really interesting because you're going to get – Jalen Hurts coming back after missing 3 weeks, I want to say, or 2.5 weeks. I know he checked out of that game against the Commanders when he got that concussion, then missed the week after against the Cowboys, and then missed last week as well to wrap up the season. So curious to see what he looks like. I mean, I didn't put it in the picks, but, I mean, Eagles are 5.5-point favorites. I would think that the Packers can cover this, but also the Packers aren't in Lambeau. And
no,
it seems
not.
Like that is when they play their best and just are able to keep teams out of arm's reach and then some is when they're at home. But when they're not at Lambeau, this team is not nearly as good and Just like to see how Jalen Hurts performs. Like, we'll see what Jordan Love looks like in this game, too. I mean, he's been great since the halfway point of last season. To think that the Packers were 2-6 last year at one point, and then they just totally turned their season around and are now one of the best teams in the NFL. This game is very intriguing to me. This game and then the Bucs Commanders, they're both like, I don't know what the hell is going to happen. Yeah. I would think that the Eagles, they should win. They should pull this out. But seeing this be a field goal game, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, I mean, here's the one thing I'll say about the game, just in general today, or and even tomorrow. It doesn't feel like there's a marquee game to, like, spend your time on. Mind you, we're all going to watch them because it's the playoffs. But, you know, looking at these matchups and like, okay, they're good matchups. But nothing that makes your eyes go like, oh, my gosh, can't wait for this game. And then to speak on the Lambeau situation for the Packers, hasn't been as great of a, I don't want to say a homestand for them. But, you know, of eight games, they lost three and three to three really good teams. Their last game, they lost to the Bears at home. Just the last game of the season. Now, mind you, it's the last game of the season, so there's a lot. You can take what you want to from that. But they also lost a close one to the Lions at home, you know, towards the beginning of the season. They also lost a close one to Philly at the first game of the season, you know what I'm saying, at Lambeau. And so I think this Philadelphia team.
That was the Brazil game, actually.
The Brazil game, forgive me, yeah. So,
which is basically like Lambeau.
It was like, yeah, pretty much, you know.
One and the same.
For the most part, you know.
Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Sao Paulo,
what a great
Brazil trip,
though, you know, to go to Brazil to play a game. Either way, they had a matchup with Philadelphia early in the season. Didn't go the way that they planned, you know. And so now is their time to see if they can right the ship. But honestly, I think in playing in Philadelphia is going to be a lot different. I don't know if the elements are going to be a factor today or not, but it's January in Philadelphia. I'm pretty sure that's going to be a factor, but you play in Green Bay, so it shouldn't
say,
be.
But, you know, January in Green Bay.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too big for you. But I like this Green Bay, this Philadelphia team a little bit more than I like what Green Bay is able to do. Although I do really like, you know, where the Packers organization is going. I love Jordan Love. You know, I think he's somebody that nobody expected him to be as good as he's been over the last couple of years, especially post Aaron Rodgers. You know, those are some big cleats to fill. And he's come out in these last couple of years and played phenomenal football in his second stint in the playoffs.
Yeah, and then tomorrow the Rams-Vikings game, which has been moved to Glendale away from Los Angeles because of the fires down there.
Prayers with everybody from Los Angeles that's dealing with those wildfires.
Did see 35,000 season ticket holders bought tickets to the Arizona Stadium, though, for the Rams. So sounds like that.
Good for the Vikings fans to be able to do that, man, and make that a home game for them.
What are you talking about? It sounds like the Rams fans are going to make the trip because it's
LA fans don't even show up for their team in Los Angeles. You think they're going to go to another state?
I mean, considering they don't have anywhere to go right now. You know,
actually, maybe they will go to another state.
It would make sense for them to kind of, you know, make the trek out there. Especially right now, I can imagine you probably just need some happy in your life.
A little distraction.
And, you know, at least for a couple hours, man, or a couple days to make that trip to Arizona.
Hey,
and
don't discount those snowbirds in Minnesota, though. Arizona.
They're gonna come, and guess what? They need you, snow bunnies.
I'm sure those celebrities hold up in all their 5-star hotels in Beverly Hills right now. We're like, yeah, I got to do something with my money. Yeah, let's go and go to a football game.
Hey, whatever you got to do to make it right now and to feel good.
But that game, again, very intriguing just because the Rams beat the Vikings earlier this year in a matchup. And the Vikings, yes, they're 14-game winners. They have just been a very strange team to me all year, the fact that they were able to do this week after week. Now, I don't know if they're a little bit shaken. Confidence is a bit shaken after what happened against Detroit.
Shouldn't be.
It shouldn't, but gosh, I am just very curious. The Rams are also a very weird team, right? Like, one week they can be putting up 44 points against the Buffalo Bills, right? And looking like one of the best teams in the league, best offenses. And then the next week, it's like, we're going to score 12 points against the Bears.
I think 9 is enough.
Yeah. That one is really all three of these games, maybe outside of the Eagles one. I anticipate the Eagles winning this. But the Vikings Rams, that's a toss up to me. The Commanders Bucks, that's a toss up to me. I really don't know what's going to happen. I would lean. If I'm going to go anywhere with all three of these games, I'm going to go Eagles. I'm going to go Commanders to pull out the upset at home. But again, like, the Commanders to me aren't that much of an underdog, like the way that they've looked this season.
No, no, they're not. And I honestly, this whole only one seed, the one seed is going to get the playoff bye, it's kind of changed things, right? Because if it were the one and two seed, that kind of makes things look a little bit different. But I think just taking it, making it just one seed that kind of gets the bye, has kind of changed the way we look at it. Because now we look at a team like Minnesota and be like, oh, and are they good enough? You know, and considering they won, what, 15 games or, you know, on the season, like, are they really good enough? Because they didn't get a bye. And so, yeah, we got to remember that the two seed is still the second best team, you know, in the division, or excuse me, in the conference at that point. They just don't get the bye anymore. And I think really taking that away, it's kind of given it a stigma almost that, man, maybe they're just not good enough.
Let's take a break. Let's talk about some college football, shall we? Hopefully you're enjoying this Bills Broncos playoff game, super wild card weekend. And but you are keeping us on the radio dial or on the Odyssey app or on YouTube, listening to us somehow, some way. But let's talk about these college football semifinal matchups we saw on Thursday and Friday.
Ugh.
And then preview the championship game a little bit. We will have a show before the championship game next Sunday. But be fun to take a look at what we should anticipate. We do that next here, Football Sunday, 10 a.m. The Fan.
All right. College football,
man. I can't believe I'm saying this, but go Irish.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I don't know if there are two teams more than I hate. I mean, only Tennessee is the only other team that I really hate more.
Oh, you don't even hate Tennessee.
I hate Tennessee.
You hate Tennessee track and field.
No, I hate the football game, football in general at Tennessee. There's more to that story. I'll get there at some point. But I don't know if there are two, especially considering the region that we're in, I don't know if there are two teams more hateable than Ohio State or Notre Dame.
Well, I said to Schultzy last week that if it was Ohio State, Penn State national championship, I would probably have to take a shower out.
I feel just as dirty about this game, though.
I ain't got no beef with Notre Dame. With the Catholics. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, maybe the Catholic Church, you know, there's something to say about that. But as far as Notre Dame, gold helmets, you know, the gold domes, you know, golden toppers. I'm all good. They can go ahead and win. Also,
Brady Quinn.
Your guy, Marcus Freeman, the only black head coach.
Why is he my guy?
Tell me why he's my guy.
You know why. Say it.
You know exactly why.
Molly McGrath willing to say it.
Also, didn't know he was part Asian. Also, so also not your guy.
By the way, credit to Marcus Freeman when Molly McGrath did try to make it about race after the game. Like, you're the first African American coach to get to the national championship, or saying that it's a great accomplishment for an African American coach or whatever
it is.
What do you say? You know, what do you say to
Jordan? Clearly doesn't care.
No, his response showed that he didn't care, nor should we, because he's like, you know what? I hope all coaches of all races, white, Asian, African American, can actually, you know, get to the level that I'm at. It's a great moment. It's not about me.
I hate it. Acknowledge,
Rashad,
acknowledge the cultural.
I don't care about your opinion on this. I care about Schultz's opinion as a white man about how Marcus Freeman should
feel. It's that Molly McGrath, the little white girl, is asking about it. That's my.
Well,
hey,
I mean, cares. I'm glad that somebody recognized it and spoke about it. I think for a cultural significance, especially at a school like Notre Dame, like, come on, man, a black head coach at a school like Notre Dame or a school like Penn State, like, historically, that would have never happened, you know what I mean? And so, or a black head coach in Boston for the Celtics takes the team to the champ, like, that, come on, these are things
that Doc Rivers fella is all right to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just kind of one, yeah, like, they like Doc until you don't win, and it's just kind of one of those things. So yes, I totally understand the cultural significance of it. And really, at times like this, considering there are so few black head coaches in really prominent positions like a Notre Dame, like a Penn State, I would, as a black man, I would hope that you take that opportunity to say.
Do you think she asked that question to James Franklin?
If he'd have made it, I'm sure it would have came. I'm sure it would have came.
I don't think she was asking. I think it was the other one, Katie, whatever her name was, asking James Franklin stuff.
I don't think it's a weird question. I think it's an honest question, considering the climate that we live in. Like, hey, man, you were the first, because African American coaches, haven't historically gotten that opportunity. And things have even changed in the NFL with the, you know, the Rooney rule and all type of stuff to where you have to interview, you know, an African-American candidate and everything. So, yeah, there is some cultural significance to it. And sometimes I just wish guys, especially black men, would just say, man, is a great accomplishment. You know, the goal is winning a national championship regardless of, you know, what race you are. But, yes, it's considering the history of Americans, considering the history of this organization, yes, it is a great feat for us. Move on. Don't have to be a big thing.
His mother, Chong, is South Korean.
And okay. And my son is half Asian, right? You know, so it's like, yeah.
My son is a quarter Filipino.
There you go. You know what I mean? So it's oh my gosh, look at you. You know, so yeah, it's kind of one of those things, man. It's okay to comment on those things. It shouldn't be the full headline, but it's okay to comment on these things where they happen.
To the football part of it, though, can we never do a toss sweep at the goal line ever again? So referencing the Texas-Ohio State game.
I don't get it.
And also, that game really, you know, it didn't come down to two plays, but it's crazy that two plays changed the trajectory and the outcome of that game so much. I mean, right before halftime, Ohio State scores on a screen play for like 80 yards or whatever it was to give them the 14-7 lead and take any momentum that Texas might have had going into that locker room right out the window. And then in the latter part of the game, you have a goal line stand from Ohio State. I mean, Texas is at the one. How you don't quarterback sneak, fullback blast, the tush-push, Arch Manning running the ball four times. Steve Sarkisian and that team getting way too cute at the one-yard line.
Oh, they thought they had it, which was crazy for a Sarkisian team or Sarkisian-led team to take those kind of weird risk.
And I don't know if it was the second down play or the third down play. And then it's just running a toss sweep at the one-yard line, just saying like, hey, I know we only have 1 yard to go, but I got an idea. Let's move the ball back 5-6 yards.
It's like lining up in the shotgun when you're right up on the goal line.
Yes,
like, what are you doing?
Too. It's like you have 1 yard. Why are you trying to put yourself at even more of a disadvantage by moving the ball back? That drove me nuts. And then sure enough, on the fourth down play, I mean, it's you need it. You even if you stop Ohio State, they have the ball at the 1, the 5 yard line, the 6 yard, whatever. Because, yeah, that toss sweep knocked him back a few yards. So, you know, they turn over on downs. There's still a chance, right? Because Ohio State is then pinned deep. But then they sack fumble for what is going to be go down as one of the biggest plays in playoff Ohio State history with Jack Sawyer then getting the scoop and score to make it a 28-14. At that point, it's like, Texas, you effed up. This game is over, done. The way that your offenses look today, it ain't happening. This ain't your day. And I think at that point in the game, there was 2.5-3 minutes left in the game when Jack Sawyer got that scoop and score. So it's like, yeah, this is, and we're done here.
And it's not even like Ohio State played a great game. Like, they weren't super
I mean, Jeremiah
sharp.
Smith was kept in check.
He had one catch for 3 yards on the game. And this is somebody that completely took the top off Oregon the entire game. And there was nothing they could do. Travion Henderson had one catch, albeit for a touchdown, but just one catch, one touchdown for Will Howard and an interception. Like, this was not the sharpest game Ohio State's played the entire year. Texas just didn't look ready. And I don't know what it is about lining up against Ohio State to where these teams just don't look like they're prepared to play. Because we saw the same thing from Oregon. Like, you know, they started slow, and they finally made something happen by the end of the first half, came back and had another big touchdown in the third, and was like, okay, this is going to be a game. And then Ohio State was like, no, it's not. Sorry, it's not going to be close. Quinn Ewers might have been one of his worst games as the quarterback of Texas. One of his worst
games.
Oh,
I would say that. What is it? I think that game against that first game against Georgia.
No, I'm saying one of his worst. I mean, I think it's one of his worst. Not his worst, but one of his worst games that he's kind of had. And so I don't know, man. Ohio State just looks scary. And considering that they've beat up on the Big Ten and the Pac and the SEC in consecutive weeks, and now gets a chance to do it to an independent squad like Notre Dame, like, I think this is Ohio State's year, and at least we got a punch in on them at one point.
As you mentioned, Ohio State, they do just kind of have that team of destiny feel to them as well. Like, them losing to Michigan was, like, the best thing to happen to them, annoyingly so. But Notre Dame's defense, man, right now, if there is a unit that could possibly shut down this Ohio State offense, I mean, if Texas was able to essentially keep them in check for the most part, then this Notre Dame defense, the way it's playing, it has a great chance of being able to do that.
And
the way that Notre Dame's offense works as well is they like to run the ball. They like to kill time. I mean, if you can keep that Ohio State team off the field, that offense off the field, and put up some points just enough and have that defense keep that offense in check, I mean, I think Notre Dame has a better chance than anticipated, but Ohio State is the favorite for a reason in this game.
They are, you know, but I always kind of worry about Notre Dame just because, honestly, they haven't played a lot of great teams. You know, they had Texas A&M at the beginning of the season. They had a win against 15 Louisville, 24 Navy, you know, 19 Army. All good teams, but they haven't played a top 10 team all year. And so your defense, I expect it to be good.
Well, they just did,
you know. But I expect them to do work like that. And even Penn State still had a chance, you know, to win that game, if we're being honest. So their defense didn't completely shut them down. But, you know, I think Ohio State is better than what Louisville is, or they're better than Georgia Tech, and they're better than Stanford, and, you know, all those teams. So I think that defense is great when you're going against teams that are just – they don't measure up.
And yeah.
So that's been my whole thing about them. But I don't know. I've been saying that about Notre Dame. They just keep, you know, running through teams. So maybe they run through Ohio State. I just think Ohio State has too much for them to handle.
Well, again, outside of that USC game where they gave up 35 points, I mean, they have – I mean, they gave up
stomping teams.
Yeah, they gave up 24 against Penn State, but they just don't give up a lot of points. They've shut down a lot of teams and what they do offensively. I'm loving what this Notre Dame defense has been putting on tape here the last few weeks. I mean, shutting down Georgia. I mean, Penn State also, you could say that Drew Aller did not do himself any favors in that game against Notre Dame. I mean, like, he got bailed out by the refs a few times. Like, he had some passes in that game that was just like, buddy, what are you doing? Which is funny because I feel that maybe over here in this region that we were maybe a little blinded by what Drew Aller did in the conference championship game.
Right.
Because a lot of this season, I did not trust the Penn State offense. I did not trust Drew Aller. And then it really took that one game for me to be like, oh, well, Penn State, I mean, maybe their offense can do something. Maybe they can put up points. Maybe Drew Aller is better than we anticipated. I mean, he wasn't too bad against Boise State as well. I mean, if you look at the game against SMU, they didn't really have to put up points on offense because they got two touchdowns from pick sixes. So I think that maybe we just got a little tricked in thinking that this Penn State offense was going to play a lot better than it did. But again, credit to Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame and that defense, because as far as two units going up against each other that are playing the best at over the last few weeks, Ohio State offense versus Notre Dame defense, one of them's got to give. Which one's going to break? And I think this is hopefully going to be a great game.
We need to see one great game in this playoff, because really we haven't seen it since the first round.
Well, we got two. I mean, the
Penn State. Okay, so Penn State Notre Dame game. That was better.
That was a banger in the second half.
That was a better game. In the second half.
The Ohio State Texas. Well, again, that. I mean, Texas was right there, about to tie that game up late in the fourth quarter, and then bam, four plays, goal line stand. I just scoop and score, fumble.
All the first round games were just a little bit better. You know, they had the Arizona State and Texas game, which was, you know, an amazing game. We'll see what happens. Notre Dame is a boring team. I've always thought Notre Dame was super, super boring. So we'll see. You know, this is a game where I don't really care who wins. No, I have no dog in the fight. Who cares?
Are you going to even watch?
I'll watch it because people are going to be watching. It's Monday night, but now that Raw is on Netflix, who knows?
Like, oh, my God.
We'll see.
You realize you host Football Sunday, not Monday night, Raw Sunday.
I can watch both.
That game, yeah, two Mondays from now on the 20th. Ohio State, 8.5-point favorite, though.
That sounds right.
Well, I hope it's not right.
That sounds right.
For the love of God. Let's take a break, talk a little bit more about these playoffs and the NFL playoffs as well. Do that next, but first, Schulte, Sports Center update. Just had to go Coach Fisher on my son.
Man, we're giving motivational speeches over here. I feel like I can go hoop today.
Yeah, I mean, hell.
You know what? I will be aggressive, Dad. Thank you.
What are some of these NFL head coach opens? You know, I'll fill that gap.
That is 7-9 bullsh.
Yeah, I think I could be a good motivator coach. X's and O's, you know, I'll get some good coordinators for that.
If you didn't hear the conversation, which none of you did, that Joe just had with his son, it's really sweet. Told him, you better effing kill tonight. Don't plan on coming home if you suck. And if you do suck, you're dead to me, and I'm making another kid.
Yeah.
Is essentially what he said.
Yeah, you will no longer be the prodigy. I will start working on another one immediately. No food. No food for you.
You got to beat greatness into him like Joe Jackson.
Well, no. Won't do that.
It works. It works.
I'll just 1,000 jumpers after the game. We're staying after. We're not leaving until I see
I'd rather get the whoop.
500 makes.
I'd rather get the beating.
I'll never forget my dad, pretty much during every basketball game of my young life, just being like, put your hands up on defense! That was his motivator.
Yeah, my son, he's does not respond well to me saying something to him in-game.
Ah, yeah.
He's told his mom many times, like, can you tell him to stop talking to me and stop yelling stuff at me during the game? So I have to be very selective and very, you know.
I can't watch my son play. I can't. Like, I mean, not for me, for him, because he won't stop looking at me. Like,
was that it?
That's what we worked on.
And you're
on.
Just looking at him, shaking your head.
And so I have to, like, seriously, like, when he's in wrestling practice and everything like that, like, I physically have to leave the room so this way he can make sure he focuses and does the things that he's supposed to do. So when I do watch him, I just kind of catch him from, like, the corner of somewhere to not let him know that I'm here watching every move, so this way he can concentrate a little bit.
Well, Joey's got a lot of pressure today because the gym that he's playing in, this is at Sherwood Middle School, which used to actually be my high school.
Yes.
They changed it to Sherwood Middle School because they got that gigantic new high school.
It's very nice.
And they are playing in the Ox Gym. And I got a history with that gym as a spectator, not playing. My freshman year of high school, my buddies that played on the freshman team for Sherwood went undefeated at home in that gym because we got it absolutely. It was basically like Cameron Indoor Stadium in that bitch. Like, it was Century, Glencoe, Hillsborough, whoever came through that Ox gym at the former Sherwood High School, now current Sherwood Middle School, they were in for a night. They were in for a rude awakening. And so I'm undefeated as a spectator in that gym, and Joey better not ruin that tradition for me.
What about as a player in that gym? different story, eh?
Maybe some, like, a lunch break 3-on-3 games, you know?
That's cool.
You know,
lunch basketball went so hard.
Playing some tips?
Yeah. Whoa. What?
No, just, you never heard of tips?
Hold on. Yeah, I have.
Okay.
I think we played a different game.
Okay. Yeah. No, the basketball game, tips.
Oh, okay.
Good Lord.
Okay. Do you know that game, though?
Nah, I mean, when we played Crunch or whatever, if you get a tip in, like, somebody's got to go back to, if they got over 15, they got to go back to, like, 8.
No. Yeah, that's kind of like 21 in a sense. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I remember that.
No, tips was, there's three dudes on the three-point line, and then there are three guys in the paint, and teams take turns shooting three-pointers. You know, if you make a three-pointer, it's a point. If you miss, the team that is in the paint has a chance to tip it in, but you have to be off the ground to catch the ball, and you have three chances to get it in. So you can either run and grab the ball off the miss and pass it to a teammate, or you can go up for the shot, but you have to be off the ground. So it's like you're alley-ooping to each other, essentially. And if you can get that shot in 3 times, then the team in the paint gets a point. And so then after 5-point intervals, teams switch, in a sense. Yeah. It's sort of like it.
Yeah, and psych outs and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there would be psych outs, yeah. Hear your mom's going out with squeak.
What?
Oh, my God. This is Marlon Brando's fat liposuction out of his ass.
Oh.
Why am I doing this?
It's all salty and warm. What a great movie. If you guys haven't seen Basketball, number one, shame on you.
Yes.
Because it was a gem of 1998. You know, but yeah, go ahead and do yourself a favor. It's still funny. I watched it maybe a few weeks ago. Still pretty funny.
Australians.
How to speak Australian.
Foresters. Hey, you know, speaking of coaching and getting my son all hyped up for his basketball games that they'll probably end up losing, won't say that as a coach. Hey, no. Guys, I know we're probably going to lose today, yeah. But, you know.
Let's go out there and give it the old college
best
try.
Effort, right? You got a new head coach. Congratulations, yeah, dude.
I mean.
Let's go Vrabel.
No, we'll take Mike Tomlin. That's going, one of those things.
Going one, from one former Patriot linebacker to another former Patriot linebacker. Jerod Mayo, no longer the coach of the Patriots, obviously, as announced last week. And now Mike Vrabel, going to be the next head coach. The Patriot way continues.
I hate it.
Rashad is stoked.
I hate it. No, he's not.
You can see it in his face.
No, he's not.
Not his voice. If you're listening, you just can't see the excitement.
Rashad is bummed.
The joy.
YouTube. That look
is,
at my face.
That is being exuded.
Get, if you can get a close-up on my, like, this
unforgivable.
Is, that's the way it feels. Like, man, listen, I wasn't on board with hiring Jerod Mayo in the first place.
Aw.
I wasn't. Here's why, and I've said this before. When you have a rookie quarterback, a young quarterback, the last thing you want to do is give him a defensive-minded head coach. Like, you have to have guys that know how to put together an offense for this young mind who's coming into the NFL and still trying to figure everything out. Every single, for the most part, ones I can think of off top, every great quarterback that came in under a guy that, you know, that ended up doing well, came in under a guy that knew what they were doing. Or if they didn't have a guy that knew what they were doing, once they got that guy, oh, okay, well, what do you know? Alex Smith doesn't suck at quarterback. He's actually pretty good. You know, he got him changed, got his team to an NFC championship, got his team to some playoffs in the AFC and everything like that. I want to say maybe one AFC championship in between there for the Chiefs, but I can't really remember. What's my man's name? I'm spacing right now. Please forgive me. But Kaepernick was a nobody, an unknown backup who all of a sudden Harbaugh came in and was like, wait a minute, we have a weapon here that we should be using. And what do you know? Lit the world on fire for, what, 4 or 5 seasons, somewhere in between there.
Yeah, and seasons after that, too.
I mean, well, hey, I mean, he started a movement. But,
get,
you know,
that son of a bitch off the field.
Off the field, yeah.
He's thanks, fired.
Trump. Thanks, Trump. But I just honestly think that you're setting your rookie or young quarterback up for failure when you're giving him a defensive-minded head coach. Look at what Mariota wasn't able to do as a Titan with Mike Vrabel as
his
head coach.
I'm going
to
throw this right back at you, though. You give me a hot tennis serve there. Jaden Daniels. Dan Quinn.
Okay. Yeah.
Dan Quinn's defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He's a defensive-minded coach. But
Cliff.
Also, I was going to say, my serve back at you might not be as good because, yeah, at least he's got an OC like Cliff Kingsbury, who is offensive-minded. And
Dan Campbell in Detroit with Ben Johnson, defensive, but with the offensive coordinator.
And there it is. If you're going to do that and be Bill Belichick, I'm going to go get a Josh McDaniels, who is an offensive, maybe not the best head coach, you know, but I can definitely draw up a play that's going to get us there. And when you don't have that, you're going to struggle a little bit. The Raiders don't just suck because they suck. They suck because their head coach has, I'm not going to say no idea, but isn't an offensive mind like that.
He should have never been hired as the head coach anyways.
No. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not thrilled about Mike Vrabel. We've seen Mike Vrabel be a head coach.
Hey, the dude's willing to sacrifice his meat and potatoes for a Super Bowl victory, okay? He said that.
I don't know what that means.
The baseball bat and two balls. He's willing to give that up.
Oh, is he?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Stupid. I'm not doing that. but I mean, I get it. Like, I don't want to win that bad though. Seriously, if somebody was like, "Hey, man, how about this? Cowboys win the next 3 Super Bowls, but you can't have sex for the next 3 years."
Dude,
you taking that?
3 straight Super Bowls?
You taking that?
3 years?
Three years. But hey, guess what? You're done.
No skush for 3 years. No, but I get 3 Cowboys Super Bowls in a row.
In a row.
That's never been done, Rashad.
In a row. Are you doing it?
I mean,
hell no, you're not.
I've gone 3 years before without a.
That was on accident, though. now you're purposely doing it all of a sudden. Yeah, I don't think Jordan. The Mariners when the next
let me talk to the
next three damn. World Series, man.
Let me talk to the girlfriend about this and see what she says.
Man, please. Absolutely not.
Yeah, because my wife would be right out on that. She'd be like, well, you better enjoy like, the
you
relationship.
Get me a boyfriend or something
exactly,
like that. Yeah.
Here's the divorce papers. Yeah, you know, and this was something I was thinking about yesterday, too, because I don't know what coach was or what team was looking at him, but former Bears head coach Matt Eberflus is starting to get some calls about defensive coordinator jobs. And part of me, when I see Matt Eberflus's name, I'm just like, that joke?
Pass.
But then again, it's like we have seen coaches that become coordinators after a bad head coaching stint. As the Broncos, fake punt! Oh, my God.
Let's go, Denver!
Wow, pulling out all the stops. But we've seen it all the time. Like, former head coaches that turn into coordinators, it's very rare that we do see the Dan Quinns of the world go from, like, head coach to coordinator back to head coach and be successful. I mean, like, I might be completely missing one and forgetting one.
Josh McDaniels was a OC, went to be head coach, was terrible at that, and then came back to be OC.
Well, again, I'm trying to think of the reverse of that. Like, Dan Quinn was a coordinator before he was head coach for the Falcons as well, but going from head coach back to coordinator and then back to being a successful head coach, usually you'll see some guys when they are done with their head coaching stint go have some success as a coordinator, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to think of one former Cowboy head coach, Wade Phillips. He goes to be a coordinator for the Broncos, wins a Super Bowl, actually has one of the best units, defensive units that we've seen in a while. That Broncos defense that won a Super Bowl for them with Peyton Manning and his immobile neck.
Chip Kelly, you know, somebody who was just really, really changed the way college football looks, you know, for a long time. And as a head coach, and now
Brian Flores.
Brian Flores,
he's having a hell of a year, right?
Yeah. So there's some, it happens out there, but just not as often.
Yeah.
You know, not as often.
Well, that is one head coach domino that has fallen. The Patriots have their next head coach. We're still waiting on the Jags, the Bears, which I don't know if you saw, some kids pranked Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I saw that. That's good.
Some kids, teenagers, they had his cell phone somehow and texted Caleb Williams like, hey, this is Ben Johnson. I'm taking the Bears head coaching job. I wanted to tell you first before it came out, and you know, don't tell anyone, but excited to get to work with you. And Caleb Williams is like, really, Ben? And send him a whole like, man, really looking forward to it. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait to go to work.
January fools.
And then sure enough, they do a FaceTime video chat. And as soon as Caleb Williams sees some like young white teenage kid, he just starts laughing right away. Some other kid's like, come to Miami.
Well, way to have be in good spirits about that, Caleb Williams. I think that's good because there are a lot of players that would have been pissed the F off.
It's like, damn it. So, yeah, Coach Domino's, I'm sure, will be falling here soon. You know, if you're a good franchise, you'll want to get your coach situation figured out before you start getting into the off season with and the draft preparation. But very intrigued to see what happens. Apparently, there was some rumors about the Raiders maybe being interested in Dion. It has now come out that the Vegas Raiders have zero interest in Sanders for their head coaching job, which is probably a smart choice.
Well, probably because Dion had zero interest in leaving Colorado for the Raiders.
And the Bears are in Marcus Freeman. How about that? Let's take a break, though. We're already up against the theme of the show today. We wrap up things next here, Football Sunday, 10 of the Fan. I just had to ask Rashad as we close out Football Sunday here that whatever happened to Bills Mafia throwing sex toys onto the football field? How come that tradition didn't stick around?
Probably stopped snorting cocaine during games.
Jumping through tables.
And probably realized how weird you look going into your local adult store and be like, hey, can I get three?
Do you guys have any red and blue sex toys, kind of in the print of like Zumba pants by chance.
Some Bengals colors, you know, something like that.
I mean, Bills fans are known for being exceptionally nuts. I don't know if they get the reputation like Philly fan does, but
Philly fans are just not.
They're
miserable.
Angry. Right,
just
and they're miserable. But this is like crazy party. They might jump off the top, like level of the roof, and just try to have fun with it.
Have y'all
don't do that?
Have y'all seen those videos? And it's usually like a kid who'll wear like an Ohio State jersey and go to a Michigan game, or vice versa, or you know, wear a Chargers jersey to a Raider game, and just watch the interaction that people have. People that he's not saying anything to, they're just walking by and saying, man, you effing suck, or calling them all types of, you know, just terrible things. You know what I mean? But I'm like, man, people are crazy about this team who doesn't give a damn about you at all. They like your money, but this team hasn't done. I'll say this, though. My buddy Chris in Portland is one of our P1s, who's also a jerk, right? Because he goes to
this
LA.
This saxophone, Chris?
Yes, it is. So he goes to LA, and he goes to the Lakers and Blazers game, I think it was, when it was in just a little bit ago. And he comes back, and he gives me like a Christmas present, because Kobe is my favorite all-time player. He feels like, oh, well, you're a Laker fan. It's like, no, Kobe fan. Very different. And I think now we can distinguish the difference between Kobe fans and Laker fans. Very different. But I guess the Lakers were giving out like kind of like postcards, like LA Lakers postcards, like a pack of like five or something like that to every fan that came and sat in a certain section. It had me thinking, I've never gotten anything from the Blazers. Never one time. The only thing I get is when somebody like, oh, we got 100 points, so here's your chalupa, or here's your McMuffin, or, you know, somebody
you didn't
made
get one of those t-shirts?
That's at the beginning of the season or during the playoffs. It's the only time okay. They ever give you something. Here's something, hey, man, thanks. Like, come on, Blazers. Give me something for all these years of torment that you've pretty much put us through.
I think the Blazers could do themselves a favor by bringing back the 100-point chalupa. The six McNuggets through an app?
Who wants that?
No.
No one.
I want the coupon, paper coupon, handed to me as I'm walking throughout that door.
I'm going straight to Taco Bell as soon as it's over.
Also, Gordita versus Chalupa. Gordita is the superior taco variant.
I don't know, man. Chalupa, it's all warm. Mm.
Well, I mean, a gordita is warm,
yeah,
too.
It is, too, but I like...
You're getting non-warm gorditas or chalupas.
I think I'm going to go with that chalupa, man.
I miss the chalupa.
Yeah, I think that chalupa is the one.
The chalupa they still have, it's the gordita they got rid of.
Yeah, which was silly because nobody liked the gordita.
No, I missed the free chalupa.
Oh, yeah, what I'm saying.
That's the only way I ate it. I never ordered a chalupa, but if we got 100 points, yeah.
In these trying times for the Blazers, you want to sell some tickets, you want people in those seats, you bring back that chalupa promotion ASAP.
I need to hear Mark Mason shout, chalupa, one more time.
I need a full Moda Center chanting chalupa as the team is at 99 points.
Chalupa.
And that player lines up for that last free throw. I need it. Also, I need some good football games today. I think we all do.
At least one.
Yes. Yes. Please. For Rashad Taylor, thank you as always.
My guy, great to see you.
Jordan Schultz across the glass, thank you as always.
Love you guys. My Love God. You all out there. Enjoy your football today and tomorrow.
We will catch you next Sunday at 9 a.m., the final show before the college football championship game between Ohio State and Notre Dame.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Thank you all for listening out there. We will catch you next Sunday. Peace.